Last week, we were in Mark chapter 10 with Jesus and the disciples journeying to Jerusalem. I said it was the journey that would culminate in his betrayal and crucifixion. Well, today, in Mark 11, that journey will be completed. They will arrive to Jerusalem, beginning what we call Holy Week or Passion Week, because Jesus would be crucified later that week. Mark 11, verse 1 says, they drew near to Jerusalem, to the villages of Bethpage and Bethany. Those were very small neighboring towns just outside of Jerusalem on the Mount of Olives. So they were very close to Jerusalem. And Jesus sent out two of his disciples. We don't know which ones. But he said to them in verse 2, go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it, and immediately he will send it here. Sending two disciples was normal for Jesus. Sending two disciples out. He frequently sent the disciples out two by two into the towns to minister, evangelize, or perform certain tasks. This task was to find a colt tied up and bring it back to Jesus. And we know that this was the colt of a donkey because of Matthew and John's accounts. They mention donkey specifically, while Mark and Luke just say a colt. So this would have been a very young donkey, so young that no one had ever sat on it before. Jesus made sure to give that detail. Now, going up and untying someone else's donkey would look suspicious, wouldn't it? Maybe like stealing. Jesus knew that. So he told the disciples what to say when they were questioned. And Jesus assured them that there would not be any problems. They would have permission to take the donkey. So the two disciples went out, and sure enough, everything happened as Jesus said it would. They found a colt tied to a door, they loosed it, and they were interrogated. Those watching the donkey said, what are you doing? Untying the colt. They said, the Lord has need of it. And they allowed them to take the donkey. No stealing involved whatsoever. Think about this exchange for a minute and what it teaches us about Jesus. He was referred to as the Lord, and that was sufficient for the people watching the donkey. Oh, the Lord has need of it? Well, by all means. It makes you wonder if they knew they were talking about Jesus. Who else would they have thought? Jesus is the Lord, and that means he is the ultimate owner of all things. When he has need of your belongings, he has the right to use them. He has the right to use them, and you have the obligation to give them to him. You should be submissive to his will, even his will for your private property. And this principle is seen most clearly in the practice of tithing. We give our money away. We give at least 10% of our wages because the Lord has need of it. And you could apply this to hospitality, sharing your abundance with others. How willing are you to let Jesus use your things? He has need of them, so find ways to share them. Verse 7, then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Matthew and Mark mention leafy branches, but John's gospel tells us they used palm branches. That's why we call today Palm Sunday and why we throw palms on the ground. But branches weren't the only thing they spread on the road. We're told that they spread their clothes, their outer garments on the road. So just as the donkey was freely given, now clothing was freely given. Men, next year I want to see your suit jackets all over the floor here, okay? Just kidding. Maybe not. Clothes were placed on the donkey for Jesus to sit on, and clothes were placed on the road for the donkey to walk on. He also walked on the branches. These were symbolic gestures by Jesus' followers. In 2 Kings 9, when Jehu was made king, it says the men placed their garments on the steps for Jehu to walk down, and they shouted, "Jehu is king." So what were the people saying about Jesus by using their clothes for him to sit on and for the donkey to trample? They were saying that Jesus is the king. Historically, donkeys and mules were ridden by Israel's kings. Deuteronomy 17 forbid Israel from multiplying horses and chariots. So what did they ride? Donkeys and mules. 2 Samuel 16 tells us that David rode donkeys and Solomon rode a mule to his coronation in 1 Kings 1. This is why Zechariah 9, which we heard earlier, says, "Behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." Jesus was about to fulfill that prophecy. Jesus riding on a donkey into Jerusalem was a picture of his kingship. And that kingship would be celebrated by the people. What about the tree branches? Walking on the branches was symbolic of Jesus riding above the treetops. When you hear the sound of marching in the treetops, says Yahweh, know that I have gone before you to defeat the enemy. That's what God said to David in 2 Samuel 5. Jesus was marching above the treetops, symbolically, just like Yahweh, because Jesus is Yahweh. He is God in the flesh. Consider also wicked Absalom. If you remember that story, when he rode his mule under the thick branches of an oak tree, he got his head stuck and then was killed by David's servants. Riding under the branches brought death for Absalom, but riding above the branches for Jesus brought praise. Verse 9. Those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." The crowd shouted, "Hosanna," which in Hebrew is a plea for deliverance. It's a shout of praise to the one who delivers. The crowd was hailing Jesus as their deliverer, as the one who grants salvation. They were declaring him to be the Davidic king. What did they say? "Blessed is the kingdom of our father David." They were quoting Psalm 118. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh." You can imagine this being a very exciting and celebratory event, but a humble one. Jesus arrived to Jerusalem in lowliness, riding on a donkey. He wasn't on a war horse with armor and weapons, yet his followers recognized him as the Son of David, the Messiah, a peaceful and humble king. Jesus arrived to Jerusalem in lowliness because his conquest was not a typical conquest. He didn't ride into battle with flesh and blood. He rode in to be the sacrifice for our sins. He rode in to die on the cross. His flesh and blood would be battled against. That's what would happen just a few days later. Remember that Jesus rode a donkey on which no one had sat before. Why would that detail matter? It seems odd, but this wasn't the first time Jesus had been the first person to use something or to be somewhere. I know of two other events in Scripture where Jesus had access to something before anyone else, and that's the womb and the tomb. When God the Son was incarnated in the womb of Mary, Mary had not been intimate with a man and therefore had never been pregnant. The virgin birth was from a virgin womb. It had never been used before. Then when Jesus died, we're told that he was laid in a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. That's John 19. And between those events was the donkey. The donkey that had never been ridden before. The womb brought the birth of Jesus. The tomb brought the rebirth of Jesus. His resurrection out of the grave. And it was the donkey that connected the two. It was the donkey that got him to Jerusalem. It was the donkey who took him to the place of his betrayal and crucifixion, to the place of his sacrifice. In the Old Testament, there were laws for sacrificing a heifer. Numbers 19, Deuteronomy 21. In both cases, it was supposed to be a heifer that had not been worked and not pulled with a yoke. The sacrifice had to be a heifer that had never been used for labor. Now, Jesus didn't ride in on a heifer. He rode in on a donkey. But the concept is very similar. The donkey that had never been ridden was like the heifer that had never been yoked. The heifer that was to be sacrificed. I think this enhances the sacrificial character of Jesus' triumphant entry. He did not ride into Jerusalem with a military to attack his enemies. He did not ride in to seize glory for himself. He rode in on a young donkey to be betrayed by Judas. He rode in to be denied by Peter. He rode in to be arrested, falsely tried, mocked, beaten, spit upon, and crucified. This he did for you as the perfect sacrifice for your sins. He endured the pain and the agony for you so that you could be forgiven and be at one with God. The Lord uses new things like the womb, the tomb, and the donkey. He uses new things to create new things. The womb, the tomb, and the donkey each speak to the fact that Jesus was doing something new. That's what he says in Revelation 21. Behold, I am making all things new. He established the new covenant in his blood, and he makes you a new creation. You are no longer a slave to sin, but a slave to Christ. And his yoke is easy. His burden is light. Place your faith in him, and you will be saved. Philippians 2 says, every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. It is not a matter of whether everyone will confess Christ. It is a matter of when and how. You want to be able to say it now and into eternity with heartfelt allegiance. You don't want to say it in hell with hatred and anger. You want to be a part of the multitude in Revelation 7, from every tribe and nation standing before the Lamb in a white robe and with a palm branch in your hand. Shout Hosanna to the Son of David. Hail him as your king. The Lord has need of you. So give yourself to him completely. Use your skills and resources for his glory to build up his kingdom. Don't you want to see the culture made new? Don't you want to see Hollywood and Washington made new? Work, school, marriage, family? Jesus is making all things new, so get on board with that mission. In closing, verse 11 says this, "And Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. So when he had looked around at all things, as the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, he went to the temple, but it was already getting late. So all he did was look around at everything. He looked around, knowing what would happen to him in just a few days. He then went back to Bethany, where they were staying, but he would return the next day. Jesus would cleanse the temple. He would give more teachings and parables. He would institute the Lord's Supper, and he would die on the cross. Meditate on these things this week and look forward to the dawn of a new week next Sunday. Almighty God, we thank you for Jesus our King, who was willing to be betrayed, given into the hands of sinners, and to suffer death upon the cross. Give us a renewed faith in Jesus' love. Transform our hearts and transform the world. By your Spirit we pray. Amen. Amen.